Zionism to me is not complicated. It's just that it's a boring and brutal settler colonial ideology which legitimizes the theft of land from indigenous people. And now all this history of European anti-Semitism is projected onto the Palestinians. And it's all about, and we're made to think that they're all rabid anti-Semites and that they resist Israel because they're anti-Semites. When of course the resistance of the Palestinians is about resisting a settler colonial regime which oppresses them.
We know that the Labour Party identifies itself as anti-racist party, and yet we have Labour Friends of Israel. Why should there be Labour Friends of Israel?
It's a very good question. In my opinion, it shouldn't exist, because it's no different to having Labour Friends of Apartheid South Africa. It should be shut down. It's an absolute embarrassment. Like Labour Friends of Israel and Conservative Friends of Israel, neither of whom revealed their funders. And you can guess who their funders are. It's not Oxfam. It was about a month in, and I totted up how many flights had gone of a military aircraft, UK, to Tel Aviv, and it was 33. Nearly all of them were either C-17s or A-400Ms, which are huge military transport vehicles. You can take weapons in them, you can put tanks in them, you can put Chinook helicopters.
You can put tanks in them?
Yeah. And you can put up over 150 personnel as well. So it makes, and also very importantly, none of these military transport vehicles had gone from Arafat Kotiri to Tel Aviv before October 7th.
Welcome to Palestine Deep Dive. Today, I'm glad to be joined by a British journalist, Matt Kennard. He's an investigative journalist and co-founder of Declassified UK. Matt is a friend of our show. He has been here many times before. And today we're going to talk about the British foreign policy on Palestine. Matt, it is good to have you again. We have met many times after the 7th of October. You have interviewed me many times, actually. I remember one of them was in Frontline Club. It was one of my favorite panel discussions I ever had.
Yeah.
But today we would like to talk about the UK's foreign policy, and especially when it comes to Gaza and Israel and Palestine after the 7th of October. This week, we heard that the UK started sending planes to Gaza to do airdrops. If you ask me personally, I think this is a sham. I think it's useless, it's hypocritical, it's inadequate, and it's just a media stunt. And we Palestinians, we see through these media stunts. We have a lot of borders in Gaza. Five crossings with Israel, and we have one crossing with Egypt, and there are thousands and thousands of trucks full of aid and assistance that are ready to come to Gaza, but Israel is blocking all of that. And then we see the UK or the US sending some planes to do airdrops in Gaza, which is very, very, very tiny. It's inadequate. It's not enough. It's very, very dangerous. We have heard that during this week, the same week that the UK sent these planes full of assistance, 18 people were killed in Gaza. 18 people killed. While we have some crossings with Israel and with Egypt, and Israel is not allowing these assistance to come. And the UK doesn't say anything about it. Mm. We heard that the UK voted for a ceasefire in the UN Security Council, but at the same time, Israel did not listen. It was, for me, it was a farce. And after hearing about all of this, seeing that the Israel is not listening to the UN Security Council, it's not listening to the UN General Assembly, no matter what the world is doing, Israel is not listening. And I know for sure that behind Israel is the UK and the US, who are supporting Israel with whatever it needs in order to keep on the genocide. So we know that the lip service, this is all a lip service that the US and the UK is doing. At the same time, Israel is continuing its massacres, its genocide, its starvation against the Palestinian people. So as a Palestinian, I would like to ask you more, especially about the UK foreign policy in Gaza. I want to understand more because I'm a Palestinian who live in the UK, and I really want to understand who is benefiting Israel, who is helping Israel to continue its genocide. And I would like to start with this topic, the UK airdrops to Gaza. The UK airdrops to Gaza, as I said, is inadequate, but they sent some planes to do airdrops to Gaza. But these planes are not the first planes that the UK have sent to Gaza since the 7th of October. And I think you are the right person to talk about this because you have written extensively on the planes that the UK sent to Gaza. Can you tell me more about these planes other than the airdrops, please?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I agree with you that these airdrops are window dressing. They're a public relations exercise because they come in the context of extensive and multifaceted support for Israel in material ways, material military ways. That has basically been in place since October 7th, when the attack on Gaza started on the day of the Hamas attack. And interestingly, none of it, basically zero information about the UK role, which is extensive, has appeared in the mainstream media in Britain. Nearly all of it has been done by Declassified UK and by me and Mark Curtis, principally. And so I'll give you a little background on how I got into the story, because it revolves particularly around one country, which is Cyprus, which sits about 200 miles from Gaza, about a 40-minute flight time from Tel Aviv. And the UK has two huge military and intelligence bases on Cyprus, which is retained since 1960, because Cyprus was a British colony. It got independence in 1960, but it didn't actually get independence, interestingly, because the UK retained these bases, and they're not just bases. They comprise 3% of the landmass of Cyprus, so, and it's 100 square miles. And I've been to them. There's military bases and intelligence bases on them, but they're also wide expanses of land. Anyway, one of those bases is this airbase called RAF Akrotiri, which is huge. And it has become the international hub, the most significant place in the world for the international effort to support the Israeli attack on Gaza. And that was that it was characterized as such by Haaretz, the liberal Zionist newspaper in Israel. So I again, none of this has appeared in the mainstream media, but I when the genocide started and the savage air campaign started, I had an inkling that maybe they were using RAF Akrotiri to deliver weapons. And then I was seeing nothing about it in the media. I asked the UK government, the UK military, to give me information, and they wouldn't. So then what I did was I joined flight tracking websites. So these are websites where you can get information about what flights are going to and from different airports around the world. And I started looking at what was happening from RAF Akrotiri to Tel Aviv. And this was the first story I did on this. Was it was about a month in, and I totted up how many flights had gone of a military aircraft, UK, to Tel Aviv, and it was 33, nearly one a day. Or actually over one a day. And I contacted the Ministry of Defense and said, look, you've said you're not going to tell me, but I found 33. And then they panicked and said, actually we found that we can tell you now how many we've sent, and we've sent 17. And we published that story that they'd sent 17 military transport vehicles. I should talk about what those military transport vehicles are. They're basically, nearly all of them were either C-17s or A-400Ms, which are huge military transport vehicles. You can take weapons in them, you can put tanks in them, you can put Chinook helicopters.
You can put tanks in them.
Yeah. And you can put up over 150 personnel as well. So it makes, and also very importantly, none of these military transport vehicles had gone from RAF Akrotiri to Tel Aviv before October 7th.
Okay.
So this was a new dynamic and a new route being flown by these. So I was like, okay, so that's interesting in itself that they're trying to keep this secret. And then we started looking into what the US was doing as well, because the US... The other point about RAF Akrotiri and the UK bases on Cyprus is they're also US installations, but we're not allowed to have any information about what the US does there. In fact, Declassified, the previous year, when I went there, one of the stories I did was to reveal for the first time how many US airmen are on RAF Akrotiri. It's 129, and a whole US spy force is based there as well. But anyway, so I started asking them again, okay, you're now telling us that you sent the RAF has sent 17 military transport flights. What about the US Air Force? Are they using RF Equatoria, UK territory, to send weapons and bombs for the F-35s, F-16s that they're using in Gaza? And they wouldn't provide any information again. And then we found that in Haaretz, they reported that dozens of US Air Force planes were stopping in RF Equatoria and delivering weapons to Israel. So we published that story. And then we found that subsequent to that, that 500 British soldiers had been deployed to Cyprus in the aftermath of October 7th in to support Israel. And that was, we revealed that, declassified, that wasn't public knowledge. And I'll finish. So this is all happening. One of the really important parts of it that we also reported on was that UK Special Forces deployed to Cyprus. Now, Special Forces are interesting because they're part of the UK military, but they're completely secret. They're like a elite force, the SAS, also the SBS, the Special Boat Service, that the UK government uses around the world in complete secret. They were in Yemen, they were in Syria, they're in loads of places that no one really knows about. Anyway, there was an article in The Sun on October 27th saying that the SAS had deployed to Cyprus the leak to The Sun was that they were to support hostage rescue. And then the following day, the D-Notice Committee, which people might not know, but D-Notice Committee is a UK military-run censorship organisation that sends out these advisories to the media not to publish stuff. So they sent out an advisory to the media saying no one should publish information about UK Special Forces and their role in Gaza. And from that, go on, Kurt.
But you wrote about all of that. You wrote about the planes, you wrote about the soldiers. How did the media react then to it?
Well, so there was no further comment. There was no mainstream media coverage of SAS after that Sun article because they all abided by the D-Notice advisory, which I think makes them complicit, right? If you're, it's meant to be voluntary, so they don't have to abide by it, but yet they're covering up for the government. And we don't know what the Special Forces were doing. My hunch is that they're in Israel advising the military. They might be in a combat role in Gaza. They might have been, but we don't know. But anyway, but to go back to your question about what was the media reaction to the stories that we were doing, there was no reaction. None of the information I've just given has ever appeared in the mainstream media.
Why do you think?
Why do you think that? Because the mainstream media is basically captured. We don't have independent journalists. They are not tasked, or they don't task themselves with revealing the truth about what the UK government is doing and what the UK military is doing.
But that's a big statement, Matt.
Yes.
Well, not even the left media?
Said that. The Guardian have never published anything about any of this stuff. So to bring you up to more recently, because this was the early work we were doing, by February, we did an article where we found that 48 military transport vehicles had gone from Akrotiri to Israel. 65 spy flights had been flown by the RAF over Gaza from RAF Akrotiri. And 9 military aircraft had landed in the UK since October 7th. Not one of those things has ever been reported in the mainstream media, ever. Which is mad, really, because this is a country that's been investigated for genocide at the ICJ. And this is evidence that the UK is materially complicit, which if we had a free press, that'd be on the front page. The nine military Israeli military jets that have landed in the UK, we published it declassified. Not one word has ever appeared in mainstream media. So interestingly, the flip side of that is that there has been reaction in Cyprus. So there's been huge protests, including at RAF Akrotiri and in the streets of Limassol, which is the second city in Cyprus, which is next to RAF Akrotiri. There was a big protest. And then the president of Northern Cyprus, also, they were both questioned about it. Okay. And made statements. And even when they did that, it still wasn't covered in the mainstream media in the UK. And this goes to the heart of what of the problems with the media system in this country, that you can have this whole reality that is just completely removed from the public record by the media. And if we weren't revealing it, no one would know about this stuff. and only our readers know about it. It's not known in a general sense. So the UK is complicit in multifaceted ways and material ways in the genocide in Gaza. And there's been no mention of it in the mainstream media, and there's been obviously zero investigation by mainstream journalists of that role. There's only two of us reporters who work for Declassified. How is it that we are the only ones that are revealing this stuff? How is it that, imagine if the resources of The Guardian or the BBC were used to reveal British complicity. Number one, you'd probably have ministers being investigated by the ICC. And number two, it would definitely help bring about the end of that support, because most people are outraged by the genocide. If they knew that their own government was materially complicit, they would put more pressure on the government to stop. So,
but I really want to understand why is that happening, because the UK is not an autocratic government. I mean, if the media talks about it, it's most likely there will not be retribution from the government or so. So why is the media doing this? Why they're not interested?
It's a very good question, and it's one that has a really long answer. I mean, I think that the mainstream media is set up to protect entrenched interests. It's not set up to protect the government. So it does publish stories about like sort of scandals or party political scandals, but in terms of entrenched interests, they protect them, and that goes for the Guardian as well as the Telegraph and the Times and others. It's got much worse recently. Mm. Like the Guardian used to, maybe the Guardian 10 years ago or 20 years ago would have been doing the stories that we're doing, but they don't do it anymore. And there's deeper reasons for that as well. But I think that, I think part of it is that they come from the same milieu as the government. They go to the same universities. They go to the same elite private schools, and there's just not a desire to cover this stuff that makes the government look bad.
Maybe these media outlets don't trust your reports. So can I ask about your research?
Mm.
How did you get this information? And how certain are you that they are true and factual?
Well, number one, we've never had to issue a correction once in history, in Declassified's history. And everything is based on, the initial stories were done through the flight tracker websites, and the later figures for the 48 aircraft, they were got from Parliament themselves, because despite the media not covering it, there have been a few parliamentarians who have been working really hard to get information about this. One particularly is called Kenny McCaskill. He's the ALBA MP for East Lothian, and he's been asking relentless parliamentary questions. Now, there's a system in the UK called parliamentary questions, where if you're in the Lords or in the House of Commons, you can put down questions that different departments have to answer. So he asked, how many RAF aircraft have gone from RAF Akrotiri to Israel? And they told him 48. So it's not that we're not trusted. In fact, if they'd love it if we got stuff wrong, because then they'd probably take an interest, and then they'd expose us as being bad journalists. But they can't do that. So the way that the establishment media deal with us is not by trying to catch us out, because they can't really. Or I mean, every human gets some stuff wrong, but we haven't been caught out yet. The way they deal with us is just to completely ignore us. And it surprised me in this situation, particularly because the presidents on both sides of the Cypriot border made comments. And I thought, okay, they ignore us all the time, but the fact that there's massive protests and the fact that both it's being talked about at that level, you would think, but again, nothing happened. And to be honest with you, it happens every single time with stories we do at Declassified. Like, I did a story a couple of years ago about how the UK supported the coup in the South American country of Bolivia in 2019. That created a diplomatic kerfuffle. The ambassador was called in. It was on the front page of all the Bolivian newspapers. And it's never been mentioned by a single mainstream media outlet, even though it was at that level. So it's what I call